say their names so we know who is on the phone?
Well, why don't we call out board members' names? They can respond if they're on the line. Let's start with that.
Okay. David Damshin? Steve Farrell?
Yes.
Greg Galecki? Greg Galecki? Bueller? Nagy Zanotti?
Here.
Bruce Adams?
Present.
Tudor Ogden?
Yes.
Jack Lytle? Jim Mattson?
Present.
Dean Baker is present in the room. Ron Winterton?
Yes.
I didn't give you a chance to speak. So it looks like we're missing David Damshin, Greg Galecki, and Jack Lytle.
Okay, so
at this point
we have a quorum present. Who's staff in the room right now? Who's in with you, Candace?
Staff is Brenda Brown, Christina Davis, Christine Reed, Candace Powers, Allison Garner, Gail Gardner, Rebecca Banner, Mayor Dean Baker, and Catherine Smith. And we have an applicant here from Ash Creek.
Okay, let's, for the record, make sure we have, is anybody on the line with Sevier County Municipal Building Authority, our first project?
Tudor, are you representing that, or is Sevier County on the line? Well, they did receive notification that it was a call-in.
Okay. How about for Duchesne, Wasatch, Blue Bench Landfill?
Yeah, Commissioner Ken Burdick here with Hal Giles and Amanda Baum.
Great. Welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
And you said Ash Creek is there in person? Amanda?
Yes.
Okay. Do we have somebody representing Naples City on the line?
Yes, we do. Joshua Baker is online, and the mayor is here.
Okay. Is there anybody on the line that has not been identified?
Tyler, do you use the water? Oh, go ahead.
Greg Galecki, representing the Water Quality Board.
Ken May has joined us. Ken May from Sevier County.
Oh, good.
David Damshin, State Treasurer's on.
Okay.
And Skylar Davies, Division of Water Quality.
Skylar Davies, good.
Thank you, Skylar.
I'm Margaret Lautamy, DWS.
All right, Margaret. Okay. Anybody
Justin
else?
Justin Atkins, Sunrise Engineering is on.
Okay.
And Keith Despain from CRS Engineers.
Development Office.
What's that?
Who else?
Jordan Catcher with the Community Development Office.
Oh, hi, Jordan.
Hi, Candace.
And Keith Despain with CRS Engineers.
Thank you, Keith.
Nathan
okay,
Hall.
Thank you very
much. I called in for this one for a few minutes, too.
Okay. Great. Thank you very much, everyone, for accommodating this electronic meeting in the middle of Wisconsin, but I think through this pretty
efficiently. We first on our agenda on the briefing part, Candace, do you want to go over real quick the upcoming meeting dates, financial review, before we get started on the minutes from the projects?
Yes. The upcoming meeting dates are September 6th, that we'll be here live in Salt Lake City, and at 1385 South State, room 157. The next meeting after that is a funding meeting, October 4th, and it will also be in Salt Lake. The September meeting will have a possibility of 17 applications for review, so the board should plan on an extended stay. And there will be the normal morning meeting availability of breakfast, and then we'll possibly have lunch. The November meeting, as a reminder, it's not the first Thursday. It's November 8th because it's Halloween the week before. So we have Red Cliffs Lodge in Moab on November 8th. Any questions? Good.
Did you want to do the financial review real quick?
I will. As you can look at the financial review, if you have your board docs in front of you, that's fine. If you don't, I will tell you that Mineral Lease right now has a negative balance of $8,386,000. The bonus fund has a positive balance of $47,968,000. The infrastructure set aside has a positive balance of $58 million, and the throughput has a positive balance of $53 million. So we have the throughput infrastructure fund is made whole. We're still waiting with that mineral lease balance. It has not yet been provided the remainder of the funding that would be coming from mineral lease funds to go to the transportation tax fund. So stay tuned on that. Just so you know, those numbers represent the balance if you funded everything. We are not in the red until you fund everything. So that represents numbers at the October meeting. So that's just giving you a heads up as you make your decisions. That's it.
Okay. Thank you, Candace. We've already introduced everybody, but just by way of getting through this meeting, we're going to do a roll call vote. If you want to make a motion or a second, just state your name so that we make sure that we get everybody's information down correctly. So we'll start with the staff briefing for Sevier County Municipal Building Authority.
Jonathan?
Let's get to the approval of minutes first. Is there a motion to approve the minutes of July 5th, 2018?
I'll make that motion. Tudor Ogden.
I'll second it, Ron.
Commissioner Ogden. Okay.
I have one minor.
You have a change, Nagy?
I have just one small typo on item 11, paragraph 7, end of the paragraph, supposed to be GO rather than SO. The transfer will be to town of John. That's all it is, just small typo. So
with that correction, is that acceptable, Commissioner Ogden?
Yes, I'll make that motion with that correction.
Okay, and then seconded by Ron Winterton, Commissioner Winterton?
Yes, still stands.
Okay. This one we can just do as a vote. All in favor of the approving the minutes, say aye.
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 Are there any opposed? Okay, that motion carries unanimously. The minutes are approved. Move on to our first project, which is the County Municipal Building Authority. Candace, can you give us a briefing on this project? We do have some folks on the line that can answer any questions that we have on this proposal.
And may I step in real quick, and I'll put myself on mute. Jack Lytle's attending by phone.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Jack. Candace.
Okay. The first application on today's agenda is from Sevier County Municipal Building Authority. It's the fairground parking lot improvements. This is for the fairgrounds that were constructed in 2009. They included a parking lot portion. The asphalt needs to be given a chip seal treatment to maintain the base structure of that asphalt. There will also be added a concrete cross gutter. It will be constructed where there is not one now to prevent water from penetrating the current section of asphalt. As you know, standing water has a propensity to damage roadways, and so they're going to mitigate that with adding this cross-cut gutter. And then the parking lot will be restriped with painted lines and to allow for traffic flow. My question is, why are they requesting suspended fund, and they are asking for $38,000 from CIB, $38,258, and the applicant has the same amount in cash, $38,258 in applicant cash.
Yes, this is Commissioner May. That's correct. The reason we're asking for is we have a contractor doing other work in our county. We're getting late in the year, and we can only take advantage of the kind of pricing that we can under this scenario while we have that contractor present doing other chip sealing in our county, and we have to get it done before the end of the year. That's the reason for suspending funds.
There are other questions from the board on this project?
We've been in that community just the last month, and we saw the structure already. Yes, there is some challenges there. My question from Commissioner May is that, has there been any maintenance in the past 9 years on this particular project since you had it already done 9 years ago?
Yes, a minor amount, but it has not been chip sealed. It's been flush coated and dealt with a few times that way. The gutter specifically has not been, that gutter area to protect the runoff has not been dealt with for the entire length of time.
Okay. Thank you.
Other questions from the board?
As far as financial,
there's a motion out there.
As far as financial need, why can't the county just pay for it by themselves?
We're pretty poor counties, and we are meeting 50% of the requirement for these two projects, and we've been in a financially poor perspective like many other rural counties for a long time. In fact, we had to go through a tax increase a few years ago, and we're trying to make sure that we can meet our budget requirement for the year. Pure and simple, we can't afford it without CIB help.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I'll make the motion that we go ahead and approve as presented.
This is Councilman Farrell?
Yes.
Okay, the motion on the table, is there a second?
Second.
Sorry,
was that Commissioner Ogden that seconded?
That's Commissioner Ogden, yes.
Okay, so the motion on the table is to approve a $38,258 grant. That was made by Councilman Farrell, seconded by Commissioner Ogden. Any further discussion of that motion? Hearing none. Let's do a roll call vote on this. Candace, can you manage the roll call vote?
David Damshin.
Aye.
Steve Farrell.
Yes.
Greg Galecki.
Yes.
Nagy Zanotti.
Aye.
Bruce Adams.
Yes.
Tudor Ogden.
Yes.
Jack Lytle.
Yes. Aye.
Jim Mattson.
Aye.
Dean Baker.
Aye.
Ron Winterton.
Aye.
The motion carries. Unanimous.
Just to clarify that, the motion was to approve as presented, which was a suspended fund. So that project is approved for a suspended fund. Okay, let's move on to our next project. It's the Duchesne Wasatch Blue Bench Landfill. Special Service District. Candace, can you give us a briefing on this project?
The project number two on today's agenda is from Duchesne Wasatch Blue Bench Landfill Special Service District. It's for a landfill expansion, a new cell, and a liner. The applicant is not contributing any cash. The request is for $1,005,000 loan, 20-year at 2.5%. So it is 100% loan. This is the Duchesne County Solid Waste Department manages the landfill. The funds generated from the landfill are distributed between the Duchesne County Solid Waste Department and the Duchesne Wasatch Blue Bench Landfill. I don't know how many customers there are, but they are rapidly expanding beyond the existing landfill. This particular cell they want to do takes the kind of trash that requires a liner so that there isn't leaching into the land. There are classes of landfill. The applicant can tell you about that. The project consists of necessary expansion from 2 cells to 3 cells. They also take landfill product from Wasatch County. That's why it's called Duchesne Wasatch. They have great maps and drawings. I almost know where it is. The applicant is also requesting suspend and fund. And I'll turn it over to the applicant. Our chair.
Yeah, any from our applicants, anything you want to add to that description or things that the board should know?
I don't know if there's too much there. This is Commissioner Burdick. That's pretty much how it is. I'm not sure if we want to suspend our funds right now. We found out that it's going to take us a little while to get the liner for this, and we don't want to start construction in the middle of the winter and not be able to finish it.
So place this on the priority list?
So are you saying you just don't need the suspend and fund option, or are we
ready to
go forward with this, or do you have still some questions on that?
Well, we're going to go ahead and go forward with it, but we want to make sure we can get our liner before we get going, because we don't want to have all that grade ready and then have to set all the way through the winter and let the snow and water get in there and come in and have to refinish it.
It was.
So what's your time frame on knowing about the liner?
Well, we don't know. Our engineer had a heart attack.
Oh no.
So
who's your engineer?
It's Chet Hovey.
Okay. Well, please send word.
Advanced Environmental out of Layton.
Commissioner, would you like to have this one on the pending list rather than approving it today?
If we can approve it today, that would be fine, and we could take suspended funds, but we probably wouldn't spend them as rapidly as what we had anticipated.
It will take about 60 days to accommodate the loan, the bond.
Okay, let's go ahead and suspend them, and we'll see where we're at.
I'll make the motion to not go with suspend and bill, but to put it on the pending list.
So there's two options. We can put it on the pending list, which means we don't make a decision on it, or we can approve the project and put it on the priority list to be considered at the funding meeting. Pending list just means we can consider it a future date.
So
clarification here. If they want to spend the money, if they order the liner and that, wouldn't they need to have it approved before they do that?
Yes, you cannot spend any money that has been expensed before the board has approved the funding. It's not reimbursable.
Can I rescind my motion and make it for approval and a suspend and fund?
That would work.
So the motion by Commissioner Lytle is to approve a $1,005,000 $5,000 loan, 20 years, 2.5%, to spend and fund. Is there a second to that motion?
I'll second it. Greg Galecki.
Seconded by Greg Galecki. Further discussion to that motion?
I have two questions. I have two questions. This is Nagi Zanati from Commissioner Burdick. So do we have any way of inspecting the sump pumps to make sure that it is items are not leaking underneath those barriers? And also, who inspects the refrigerants from the ACs and freezers and the refrigerators when coming to the dump?
Okay. Chet Hubby comes out and takes samples. We have testing wells all the way around, upstream and downstream and outwards. And so he comes out quarterly and tests the water to make sure we're not leaching into it. On the refrigerant, Hal has a guy, has some people come out called Rapid Recovery, or Recover, and they come out and they take all of the Freon out of the refrigerators and anything with refrigerant in it.
At the arrival time or just right after it's been delivered and dumped?
You wait until he gets enough of them to come out, enough units, and then they come out and do what they can do in a day.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you.
Commissioner, I'd like to point out that your engineering is only about 2% of the, about 3% of the cost of the project. I'd personally like to see a lot more of engineering like that. That's a real good cause.
We had to put him down in the bottom there and threaten him.
That's the heart attack.
Ow.
I'm sure, I hope he sees the humor in that joke there, Ron. So, Mr. Chair, I have a question just to get clarification. There was a question for the commissioner. There's mention made of a delay. So if you take the expected delay and project the final disbursement of all of the proceeds, how long are we talking? How long of an impact will this delay have, and how long will it take us to get all the money spent?
Well, we anticipate having this project done by mid to late summer in 2019.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. When will our interest begin on this funds? As soon as we start to use it?
When you close a bond, you will receive an amortization schedule that usually gives you a year before the first payment is due, and at times 2 years, and the interest accrues at the beginning of the first year, or the second year. So you've kind of got, you can't accrue interest until you've closed the loan, and you, if it was a building, you can't occupy the build, or you can't make a first payment until you occupy the building. So on, in this case, you won't make a first payment until you're using the landfill.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, one more question, please.
Okay.
Yes.
This is Nagi Zanati. The original application was for $1,153,000. How did you manage to get the $45,000 out of it, Commissioner Burdick?
Well, with the $45,000, that was looking at a USDA loan, and then when we decided maybe we could go this way, we were able to cut that much more out of it.
Well, congratulations. Thank you for the effort.
Thank you.
If there's no further questions, the motion on the table is to approve a $1,005,000 loan, 20 years, 2.5%. Candace, can you handle a roll call vote?
David Damshin.
Aye.
Steve Farrell.
Candace, I'm going to recuse myself from voting. I'm a member of the Blue Bench landfill.
That's correct.
Greg Galecki. Thank you, Mr. President.
Aye.
Nagi Zanati.
Aye.
Bruce Adams.
Aye.
Tudor Ogden.
Aye.
Jack Lytle.
Aye.
Jim Mattson.
Aye.
Dean Baker.
Aye.
Ron Winterton.
I will abstain as I'm a board member also of the landfill.
So we have, it carries with Steve Farrell and Ron Winterton abstaining.
Okay. And our congratulations, that was suspended fund also.
Thank you.
To our next project, which is the Ash Creek Special Service District. Candace, can you give us a briefing on that?
Chairman?
Yes.
This is Commissioner Ogden.
Yes,
please suspend and fund the first application.
Yes, we did.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, that was the application.
Item number 3 on the agenda today is from Ash Creek Special Service District. It's for sewer systems improvements, Bench Lake Pump Station and Pipeline. The request is for $4,289,000. It's a loan, 20 years at 2.5%, so all bonus. They have $165,000 in applicant cash, which they intend to pay for the engineering. Ash Creek serves the cities of Hurricane, Leverkin, Tokerville, and those cities are in Washington County. The district is in the process of constructing an extension of the existing sewer in Dixie Springs Drive. The construction of this 10-inch and 12-inch pipeline, along with a significant portion of blasting and hard rock excavation, has already been undertaken by the district at a cost of just under $1 million. This requested funding will be used to install 7,500 feet of 18-inch gravity sewer pipe, 8,200 feet of 8-inch pressure sewer pipe, 6,700 linear feet of 12-inch gravity sewer pipe, an estimated 300 feet of steel casing for carrying the sewer under the UDOT right-of-way. Nagy should be happy about that. And the sewer lift station, a sewer lift station with associated backup power generator. This project will serve a total of, or it will cover a total of 7,425 acres of property with an estimated future growth of 19,470 connections. The developers would be required to install all the project piping and the necessary offset piping to carry sewer to the regional lift station, but the district would take the lead in coordination efforts with UDOT in the installation of the appropriately sized regional gravity and pressure lines. So this was to ensure the following, and they have a list of things that will be accomplished by this, and it's a wise and prudent way to look at it. It's appropriate sizing. It's the highest future population at the lowest required cost. And it will ensure that the district standards are met and coordinated with all other utility providers, which include Hurricane City, Power Streets, Rocky Mountain Power, Dominion Gas, and Washington County. The cost estimate includes administration and legal of $20,000, engineering of $165,000, which the applicant said they would cover, construction of $3,880,275 with a contingency of $388,000. So the total cost of this project will be $4,454. Again, they're asking for 100% loan, 2.5% interest, 20 years. Right now, their MAGI is about 1.22%, but they're taking all loan, so I will turn it over to the chair.
Do our applicants have anything to add to that description?
Not at this time. This is Superintendent Mike Chandler.
Okay, thank you, Mike. Questions from the board on this project?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Nagy.
I have seen this project previewed in the past because we were doing the Southern Corridor and Southern Parkway for this neighborhood. We saw the cooperation, and I'm familiar with the Ash Creek project. It is right now the city of Hurricane really expanding. They have already two permits for the 2,500 units, another 2,300 units. That project is going to be needed to service these new additions. And, of course, they have done a good job managing their cash and managing the maintenance, and it's been very frugal. It's one of the good districts that you can be proud of. And, of course, our friends and colleague, Greg Kalecki, will be impressed to see that pre-engineering construction 2% and engineering construction 2%. They really know how to manage projects, and I really make a motion, if you allow me, to accept the application as presented with suspended fund, because they've already started construction in a major project.
I will second his motion.
Thank you, Ron.
Okay, so we have a motion from Nagy to approve a $4,289,000 loan, 20 years, 2.5% suspended fund, seconded by Commissioner Winterton. Further discussion to that motion?
Mr. Chair, Jack Lytle.
Yes, Commissioner Lytle.
I'd like to thank both the Duchesne, the Blue Bench Landfill SSD, as well as Ash Creek, in particular the Ash Creek deal on the sewer, and providing a great example of how a project should come to the board. I say that less than tongue in cheek because of our meeting previous and what was presented from our county. And I say it with all sincerity and honesty, thank you very much to the Ash Creek folks for bringing such a good project.
Hear, hear.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, Greg Galecki.
Yes, Mr. Galecki.
Not to continue to get you guys with accolades for Ash Creek. You know, but the thing is, again, the low engineering cost, the time to take to do the regionalization that, you know, reduces the cost for, you know, water quality. And then, yeah, it's just great, real easy project to support. I guess my one question is there going to, in the covenants or the ordinances, how close will everybody need to hook up to the system to, you know, better just help support it? I guess, you know, the one concern is, you know, if they're only 300 feet away, will they need to, you know, what's the distance that they're required to hook up, I guess?
So our current ordinance matches the state requirement of the 300 feet. And as we extend, this is an area that's, you know, previously been underserved and primarily septic. And so those who are within that 300-foot radius of these improvements will need to be connected. At this time, that's probably less than five. But as Nagy mentioned, there's significant additional construction happening in the near future in conjunction with SR7. That will grow pretty quickly once some of the developer-led projects start to extend project-related pipelines away from this regional system.
So if a project comes in, they'll, even though they're 300 feet away, will they be required to hook up? I'm just hoping the best for the system, you understand?
I do, yes, that's correct. Typically, unless there's some sort of a hardship, which we've made individual cases come before our board, and in those cases, we've typically allowed them to amortize out payments, their impact fee and connection fees. But we work pretty hard to make sure that people connect at that time. We've done a lot to try to pull septics out of our system and get people connected.
The other, I guess, I do have one additional question, is that you know, it seems like it's very low cost. You know, you've sharpened the pencil quite a bit. The question is, would you be interested in keeping your cash and increasing the loan by, you know, either all of it or, you know, $100,000 or something?
I think for where we're at, we've kind of already committed on our engineering path. Prior to this, we've spent close to $500,000 in easement acquisition. We're currently expanding as was mentioned in the synopsis of the project, we've committed $792,000 to get up on top of the bench above Dixie Springs. Our board is aware, and this has been a project that we've been trying to undertake for really the last probably 15 years. And I guess finally UDOT initiating SR7 was the kick in the pants that we needed to get moving on it. So I appreciate the thought, but I think we're just tickled pink if you'll give us what we've asked for.
Very good.
Any further questions? If not, we have the motion and a second on the table. So, Candace, can you give us a roll call vote on this?
David Damschen?
Aye.
Steve Farrell?
Aye.
Greg Galecki?
Aye.
Nagi Zanotti?
Aye.
Bruce Adams?
Aye.
Tudor Ogden?
Aye.
Jack Lytle?
Aye.
Jim Mattson?
Aye.
Dean Baker?
Aye.
Ron Winterton?
Aye.
Unanimous.
That vote passes unanimously. Spend and fund. Congratulations. We'll be excited to see that completion.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Okay, we have an item on the agenda for special consideration. This requires a vote from the board to put it on the agenda for Maple City. Is there a motion to?
So I would make that motion.
I would second it.
We have a motion from Commissioner Winterton and a second from Commissioner Lytle to for special consideration, Maple City Urban Interface Fire Truck. Roll call vote on that, Candace.
David Damschen?
Aye.
Steve Farrell?
Aye.
Greg Galecki?
Aye.
Nagi Zanotti?
Aye.
Bruce Adams?
Aye.
Tudor Ogden?
Aye.
Jack Lytle?
Aye.
Jim Mattson?
Aye.
Dean Baker?
Aye.
Ron Winterton?
Aye.
Unanimous.
Okay, so that project is before us. Candace, can you give us a briefing on this?
This was presented to the board as a special consideration emergency. The opportunity has been manifest that they can acquire an urban interface fire truck, which is governmental surplus. It will be a custom-build 5-ton urban interface fire truck with diesel-powered high-pressure volume pump skid to carry 1,000 gallons of water and 120 gallons of foam and necessary appurtenances. The United States Department of Interior letter has endorsed the truck that they currently have and its use. It's been receiving very high accolades. With the fires that have occurred, the opportunity is ripe to acquire a second vehicle. It will be a similar vehicle. My question is, what is the cost of this vehicle? Are they purchasing it? The information that we've received shows all of the equipment that will be put upon the truck. And that is my comment. They also are requesting suspend and fund.
Mayor, are you representing this application, or who do we have representing this?
I thought I was going to have our city manager and our fire chief present it. If not, I can do it. But Joshua, Brett?
Yes, thank you, board. We really appreciate the opportunity to present this. This is a unique opportunity we have to combat with this fire season. I'm actually going to turn the time over to our fire chief, Brett Reynolds, and he can give you the particulars about how this truck has been such a great asset to the entire Uinta Basin.
Well, thank you for giving me the time. The original truck that we got because we were poor. We never expected it to be so valuable and used so well. Just in the last 3 weeks, we've helped 9 jurisdictions because it's the only truck that can get there. And so when our other brush truck that wasn't a quarter as useful went down, we realized that I went back to the federal government to see if I could get a similar truck. And just as an example, a BLM heavy truck or something made for Wildland is about $500,000. We're able to build this one out for about $115,000, and that's with a diesel pump. Since our average truck in the fleet was 25 years old, we figured that we probably want something that we're probably going to be using for that many years, so we did try to go with the diesel pump. The only downfall I see to having this truck is it's the only one that's been able to get to the roughest parts on all these fires we've had this year. And so I have one crew by themselves out on the head of the fire because they're the only ones that can get there. So I just didn't see the point in going back to a traditional truck, being that all nine jurisdictions around us call this truck as they call their own truck. And it's something born out of being poor, but I think it's an example for the right thing to do for many jurisdictions to combat these wildfires. And quite frankly, it works well in the urban interface areas, which is where we use it mostly, around oil wells, cabins, you name it. We actually are able to get 1,000 gallons of water, but by injecting the foam, your water goes 7 to 10 times further. And we put it through the high-pressure system, we cut our water usage from 300 gallons a minute down to 12 gallons a minute. Wow. So the reason they like this truck and we end up called all over with it is because if you have a 500-gallon Wildland truck and you're putting out even 100 gallons a minute, you've got 5 minutes. And every time you head back for water, the fire rages up again. We've been able to leave this one out on the fire line, knocking down fire for upwards of an hour and a half, 2 hours on several occasions. But also, what you got about it?
Can I jump in there?
Do we have questions from the board on this project?
This is Greg Galecki.
Go ahead.
You go ahead, Nagy.
No, go ahead, please.
So, you know, you speak about, it's funny because I first go, you know, why now? Is reasons because we have over 100 wildfires burning in the West? Is that maybe a reason why this is a good time for the need of it? But
well, A, we had a truck go down, and B, yeah, we never anticipated the usage of this. You know, this truck goes out 3 times a week.
And that actually leads to my real question, is that, you know, you mentioned various other jurisdictions and such. Do you get paid from the various jurisdictions when you go on these calls?
We get, when it's on federal lands, we do get some reimbursement, which generally ends up covering the maintenance on it, which is helpful. That's how we've been able to keep our truck maintained. But with our interlocal agreements, we've been through all the other cities, the county, and one time on the edge of Neola, so he's in the other county, we don't get reimbursement from them, nor do we expect it. We have interlocal agreements with them, and we just provide the service.
My other question is that on the financial indicators, looks like you're very strong that you could handle a loan. Is there any way to demonstrate, or could you take, you know, take it all in loan at 0% interest?
I'll turn that over to the mayor because I have no, I have my $80,000 to work with to keep 25 guys equipped a year, and that's it. So I don't have any extra money, but I better not speak to that as the fire chief.
Okay, let me just jump in there. Where this truck is used throughout Uinta County, we felt like that some CIB money, we are coming in with $30,000 of city's own money, and that it's not just the truck used for the city, it is used for the whole county, and like I said, we do actually cross over sometimes into Duchesne County and do, but we'd really rather not try and do any more loan. We struggled to get our $30,000 for of in-kind applicant cash to cover that, and we were looking at not quite as much money. And two more questions to answer to you there. the truck is being given to us as long as it maintains within our jurisdiction and used for what it was for. So there's no cost to actually the truck. The whole cost of this is actually modifying it and equipping it with the equipment on to be used. So that's kind of where we're at with it. I don't know if I answered.
Hey, Mayor,
those.
Can I add, as a yes. fire chief, I'm thankful that I'm in Naples. We're a fire district now, and they had no money to do anything. And I'm pleasantly surprised and grateful that Naples City is stepping up, because 80% of its use this year has not been in our city, yet Naples City is stepping up to help the neighboring jurisdictions by making up that $30,000, and that was very generous of Naples City, and I do want to thank them for that.
And to add with that, just this is Mayor Baker, being a fire district, the station that we have and all the trucks are maintained by that fire district, so we don't have to have that overhead cost on there. We definitely wouldn't have the money if we were still taking on everything.
If I could, Mr. Chairman, this is Commissioner Winterton. I'd make a motion that we approve this as presented because of our recent fire here and knowing the value, how valuable this is, and we now have a fire down in the Hill Creek Exchange unit. It's on the tribal land and goes into the BLM. I think that we need to have more of these around.
I second the motion, Mr. Chairman.
So the motion, Commissioner Winterton, to approve an $84,170 grant that's seconded by Roger Zanotti. Further discussion of that motion?
I have just one question from the chief.
Okay.
The specs and the features of the Brush 85 is very impressive, and I'm grateful that you're thinking about upgrading and getting something that would really high-capacity water pressure and the foam. But will that reduce the shelf life of this truck compared to others?
It won't. The difference between the 85 and this truck we're proposing is the pumps last very well. The motors is what you worry about. And that's why on this new truck we proposed going to a diesel motor.
Okay.
So that we get a longer life out of it. But this truck, the amazing part of it is it's as rugged and it's crossed the White River and not on the bridge. And the amazing thing is that the maintenance has been replacing a few burnt hoses, and that is it. So it's been shockingly durable. And by putting a diesel pump on this, that would be the only thing I could change over the current one is what we're changing here is having a motor that can last the we're expected out of all of our other fire trucks.
What is the age of your fleet, and how many are there trucks in your fleet?
We have between the ones the more urban type trucks. Our newest truck is 6 years old. Our average truck is between 20 and 35 years old.
Wow. So you needed to upgrade. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Jonathan?
Any further questions? Yes.
Jonathan, I have a couple questions for the Chief.
Go ahead, Commissioner.
This is Commissioner Ogden. First off, how many fires do you go on per year on this truck?
Probably 40 or 50 with just this truck. Last year, between the end of May and the middle of July, it responded 47 times. Okay. This year, it's probably, I should have brought the numbers and I didn't, but I'm guessing upwards of 20, 25 times it's been out.
Okay. Just for information, basically, how many of your firemen are red carded?
As soon as the state processes the certifications, it'll be 19.
Okay.
We have currently, I think, 14 of them, but all my newer guys all pass the test and pass their tests and their PAC tests, and we're just waiting to receive the red cards in the mail.
Okay. You was expressing that you got this out on some federal lands. Do you get reimbursed for being out on the federal lands?
We do. The reimbursement helps because it covers the fuel. It covers what little bit we pay the firemen. And they're very good about replacing damaged or broke equipment. If we break down this truck out there or burn up hoses on the federal fires, they do replace that, which is the only way we could afford to help them is because they do back us up for the cost of us while we're on those fires.
Okay. That's the only questions I had. Thank you.
We have a motion on the table to approve an $84,170 grant, and that has been seconded. So, Candace, can you do a roll call vote on that?
David Damshin.
Aye.
Steve Farrell.
Aye.
Greg Galecki.
Aye.
Nagi Zanotti. Nagi went to a different phone. Bruce Adams?
Yes.
Tudor Ogden?
Yes.
Jack Lytle?
Aye.
Jim Mattson?
Aye.
Dean Baker?
I'm going to abstain.
Ron Winterton?
Yes.
So aye. We have...
I'm voting aye. I missed your connection for a minute.
Okay. We have the motion carries with Dean Baker abstaining.
Great. Thank you so much. Congratulations. And that was a suspending fund also?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
So with that concludes our agenda item. So we will plan on the next meeting being September 6th. Is that correct, Candace?
Yes.
Okay, we need one last motion, and that is to adjourn.
So moved.
That's from Commissioner Ogden. All in favor say aye.
That's Lytle.
Aye.
Hey, Jonathan?
Thank you so much. Yes.
Do you have that date down on your calendar when we're going to meet again?
Yes, I do. So we will plan on that. Thank you very much. Appreciate you guys being willing to accommodate this electronic meeting today. And we will talk soon. Thank you.
Thank you for...